Now, many listeners are well aware of the Corktown footbridge that crosses the Rideau Canal at the east end of Somerset Street West. That bridge, now completed for over 2 years, has been hailed as quite a success. But there is a growing group of restless residents who aren't satisfied with just one bridge. They live in Old Ottawa East and the Glebe, primarily, and they hope to connect those communities with another bridge across the canal. Currently, the idea is being shopped around to community associations, school groups, and soon it could grab the attention of the National Capital Commission and even Parks Canada. Already, a second footbridge has received the support of a whole host of groups. I'll name a few. It includes the city's Roads and Cycling Advisory Committee, the Arts, Heritage, and Cultural Advisory Committee, the Pedestrian and Transit Advisory Committee, the Ottawa East Community Association, the Glebe Community Association, Action Sandy Hill, the Centertown Citizens Community Association, the Riverview Park Community Association. I could go on because there are more groups and associations, but I want you to hear from some of the people pushing for this bridge. So joining me in studio now are Nick Massiantonio, president of the Ottawa East Community Association, and Bob Brocklebank, president of the Glebe Community Association. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Just great.
Well, I'm going to start with you, Nick.
Sure.
How long have folks been thinking about this bridge?
Well, actually, almost as long as the Corkstown Bridge. I think that we actually found some copies of the old Main Streeter in the old town hall just about a week ago from issues from 1980, and there was talk about pedestrian bridges and safe cycling routes in our community. So it's been out there, but more in the recent past. We started a community development plan process about 3.5 years ago, and our initial charrette, community organized charrette brainstorming session, we'll say, we actually colored it in and added that in as part of the pedestrian and cycling friendly communities we wanted to live in.
And this idea, I imagine, is a hit among the people in your community?
Certainly. I think that what we're looking at, and you see that it is a hit in other communities. I think that in the core, in the city center, our communities, our neighborhoods are looking for green spaces and safer ways to travel. We're connecting the existing cycling paths, and more importantly, as with Bob here, we're connecting our communities and our school children, going over to into each other's neighborhoods. I mean, we have Immaculata, the only Catholic high school in the city center right now, and we have a lot of students coming in from other neighborhoods.
Bob, tell us a bit about why this is a draw to residents of the Glebe.
Well, one reason is to conveniently get over to a vegetarian restaurant, right?
That's right.
I think there are lots of good reasons. It is a long way between the Bank Street Bridge and the Pretoria Bridge. And frankly, if you're on a bike or you're walking, the tendency is to say, well, you know, I won't bother, I'll go downtown instead. Or, it's just quite inconvenient. It's quite a long distance. I think that the safety issue is an important one. And the safety issue will be an important one in the design of what eventual bridge is built. Because there are times when, along both Colonel By and the drive, Queen Elizabeth Driveway, you have quite a lot of traffic, and getting kids across, or getting young mothers with baby carriages and so on across those two arteries is a big issue. For us, yeah. Another aspect is it's related in a sense to the redevelopment of Lansdowne Park. At the moment, it's not very convenient.
People could go and park in Nick's driveway and go to a football game at Lansdowne Park, you see, if we had this bridge, who knows?
and that's jumping on that, that may be of concern. I mean, people are looking at on one side or the other about increasing traffic. But taking Lansdowne, for example, right now we don't have public transit going down Colonel By and Queen Elizabeth. Now, that's an NCC issue. This will actually help promote and connect where we do have the city's public transits. We will be able to connect at either end. Also, touching on the safety issue, Bank Street Bridge, Pretoria Bridge, and the Bronson Bridge are not pedestrian nor cycling-friendly bridges. They were built and built for cars. and we need a safer place to get across, and we need that east-west connection of the bike paths. That right now, if anyone looks at the grid, we have a tremendous number of cycling routes, but we don't have a natural east-west connection, and this would make an ideal location.
And I mentioned off the top of the segment here, there's a lot of support for this from a lot of different community groups, and not just the groups that are, I guess, in the direct sort of line of fire of this bridge, but Centertown, Riverview Park, which is, I guess, a little bit to the east and north. What's happening now? Which other groups are being sort of brought on board? And the number of school groups, is that right, Nick?
That's right. We actually have two presentations next week to Immaculata High School Parents Council, School Council, and the Lady Evelyn School Council, which are both in Old Ottawa East. And we got approval from OSWATCH, which is the committee of the Old Ottawa South Community Association, which is also another strategic, tripart partner in this bridge. Old Ottawa East dips south slightly, but joins up at Old Ottawa South, at just about where that bridge is going to be. So we anticipate a lot of Old Ottawa South traffic, pedestrian traffic.
And now the Ottawa Citizen also wrote an editorial a little while ago in sort of endorsing this bridge. But Bob, I'm wondering, we've talked a lot in the last few minutes about the positive aspects of this bridge and what it will do for the city and for the residents around it, and for the residents who are commuting downtown for football games in a revitalized Lansdowne Park or whatever, what have you. But what do you think some reluctant councils are going to say? What are their objections going to be to this bridge?
Well, the traditional objection is that there is, oh, it costs money and we don't have any money. Probably building this bridge costs about what it costs to put a turning lane on Innes Road or something. Pedestrian bridges are not very expensive compared to installations for cars. And many people said, oh, nobody's going to walk across the Corktown Bridge. There was all this negativity before it opened. And I don't know whether I've ever been on the bridge alone. Every time I cycle or walk across that bridge, there are other people on the bridge. So I think that slowly some of the councillors who were negative from the cost standpoint may be coming around. Also, frankly, there are some other bridges in town that, you might say, well, how much are they used? I mean, there's a wonderful bridge that goes right across in Kanata. That's an enormous bridge that goes across the Queensway. I have no idea how many people use it, but I'm sure that the cost of that bridge is much greater than anything we would propose.
Yeah. OC Transpo has just proposed almost a $4 million bridge, pedestrian bridge, at Baseline and Woodruff for the Algonquin College students, pedestrian bridge there. I mean, really, no one is saying one is more worthy than another, but if we're fixated on a cost, what is the greater cost? What is the greater cost to the environment by building another lane or doubling the size of the Queensway? I mean, we're talking about ways that we can move around downtown, that we can move around Centertown, that we can move around in a new and whatever Lansdowne might be, or an old Lansdowne. But if it is a city jewel and a property, and we are attracting people into our core, we need ways that we can move people efficiently and in a environmentally friendly way.
Now, this might be a $1 million question that is hard to answer, but you do have the support of a lot of community groups, both of your community groups and several others that we've mentioned. But how much will suburban or rural councillors listen to that kind of a voice? Do they listen?
Well, I don't think they're totally, deaf to the concerns of people downtown. Let's face it, if I were a downtown councillor and someone came to me and said, we have to have the Armstrong-Strandherd Bridge, what is this going to cost? $400 million or some incredible amount of money?
47.
whatever it is, I would say, gee, you don't have any money, you know, to move pedestrians around? The fact is, supposedly, the city has priorities in terms of mode of transportation. Number one is walking. Number two is cycling. Number three is transit. And number four is use of the individual automobile. And I'm kind of appalled, frankly. Could I pull my soapbox just for a sec?
Go for it.
The city last year passed a cycling plan for the city.
Mm-hmm.
One of the principal things in the cycling plan was to provide education for children to cycle safely. What was one of the recreation programs canceled this year across the city? It was the cycling safety program. So we come up with this nice big document. We're about to come up with this nice big pedestrian document. And then when it comes to implementing what we say we're going to do, we don't do it. Well, if we really believe that walking is priority, then it's time to invest a bit in walking.
To touch on that, I think what we're getting at is council... When council puts their heads together and they start talking about a vision for the city, they must, and they usually do speak about the city as a whole. And we have to be concerned about some of the suburban issues as much as they need to be concerned about some of these core issues. The only reason, or the primary reason for the Armstrong-Strathern Bridge is that people need to get downtown to work, and people need to get downtown to get to the Lansdowne Park. People need to get downtown, and what we're saying, and as Bob had said, this needs to be a piece of the puzzle. I think that they will look at it and look at it as something that makes the city great. Just to add on that, though, not everyone certainly more than our two communities go to the to Winterlude, skate on the canal at Winterlude. Our neighborhoods are full of cars who come in and from all parts of the city and outside the city to come and skate. And that Fifth Avenue, Clegg area is the hub of Winterlude, and this is where we're looking at. This bridge can be part of the historic nature of the canal, give it new standing and the proper facilitation for all the NCC things that are going on there too.
Actually, you talk about the historic aspect. There was an interesting article that was in the Glebe Report. I have it over there. In the wintertime, back in the 50s, they used to build a little pedestrian bridge, and this before people started skating on the canal. They used to put a little pedestrian bridge in there.
Right up until 1974.
Was it? Till 74?
Yeah.
At any rate, I kind of wonder, you know, during that shoulder season before the canal is complete, the canal has been lowered. We don't have a boat issue anymore, but the ice hasn't formed to the point that you can safely walk across it. One of these little rickety bridges for that shoulder season, I think, could be quite useful. It would also be a useful experiment to just see what the effect would be, how people would go back and forth.
Just to add to that, I actually wrote to the NCC on proposing that, or proposing a study. Unfortunately, they turned us down just a few weeks ago, believing that safety, they stated that safety was their ultimate concern, and they didn't think there would be a safe way to look at this over that shoulder season period. Right now, people get ticketed for walking across the canal when the red flags are up. I mean, the standard to skate on the canal is based on having big bulldozers and dump trucks rolling across the canal. It's not about having even a chubby guy like me walking across. So I mean, the reality is people are actually getting ticketed for walking across because, I mean, they always say, you know, wait a year to build a sidewalk because people will make their natural path. People have made their natural path across the ice, and it's now time to bring in the infrastructure to reflect that.
If the time is now, I guess the question is, how long will it take to really get the ear of council and to put this on their agenda on the, and have be on their radar screen.
You mentioned we are hopeful that we will have a meeting with the NCC and Parks Canada within the next couple of weeks to start these talks. I mean, the canal is an NCC property. The two roads, Colonel By and Queen Elizabeth, as well. So we have to work with the NCC, the federal government, the city, the province. I mean, we have to bring all the stakeholders together. But I mean, we have all of the reasons why it should be built. We need that. Obviously, need to pull together the team.
Now, I imagine this could take a few years. It could take a few years to get the year of council, right number of councillors, and then all of a sudden you have to go through some kind of design process. You have to conduct an environmental assessment. At some point, council has to vote on it. It has to be approved. Public consultations, construction, then it's built. Is it hard to keep people focused, people in both of your community associations, and indeed all of the other community associations, community health centers, and school groups that are now on board, through this whole process?
Sure, people become impatient. They become impatient with all kinds of things, and become distracted. I mean, I'll be really frank. I'm kind of distracted by Lansdowne, and I kind of see almost everything that's happening in the world in terms of what's happening in Lansdowne Park, which is obviously untrue. But I think that the fact that there is this basic agreement that there are so many positive features to this project, it's one of the things that people will come back to again and again. And it isn't going to be built in a day, but eventually it will be, and it will be a great success, I'm convinced.
I want to thank you both for coming on. That's Bob Brocklebank from the Glebe Community Association and Nick Massantonio from the Ottawa East Community Association. Thanks for sharing your insights, gentlemen.